So, friends, one of my favorite lesser-known Advent and Christmas hymns is titled "The King Shall Come When Morning Dawns." You may have heard of it. It's more popular in Advent. "The King Shall Come When Morning Dawns." And the song, written about a century ago, is meant to capture this sort of both human and theological hope and expectation that the rising sun every morning represents the possibility of new beginnings for human beings. I was thinking about this song about a month ago because I was home for Thanksgiving break, and I have a little nephew, Teddy, who's 3, and my sister said I could put him to bed, which, of course, is a great honor for an uncle and a great relief to the parents. And so, you know, uncle's bedtime hour is, I don't know, this was like an hour and a half ordeal. You can tell he was exploiting me and telling me that mom and dad do all these different things with him, and so I had to do them and all this stuff. It was all him lying to me. But at one point in the conversation, he said, "Uncle Jeremy, tell me a scary story." So, you know, as an uncle, I don't have to get up with him if he has nightmares or things of this nature. So I conjured up the scariest story on the fly that I possibly could create. And then we went our separate ways to bed. My room when I go home, we're very blessed to live right on the tip of Marblehead, and so my window goes out over Lake Erie, which is straight east toward Cleveland over Lake Erie. And so the sun comes up every morning right over the lake at our house. And so Teddy woke me up at 6:30 a.m. when the sun was coming up, and he got into bed and he snuggled in and he said, "Uncle Jeremy, do you remember that scary story you told me last night?" So you could tell it was on his mind all night. And then he said this, as the great philosopher that he is. He said, "But Uncle Jeremy, there's really no need to be afraid because the sun is coming up." And he pointed out the window at the rising sun. There's really no need to be afraid because the sun is coming up. That's the sentiment, really, of Christmas. There's really no need to be afraid because the light of the world, the rising sun, the King who has come when morning has dawned, is with us. Just on a human level, the rising sun represents new beginnings. I don't know if you've ever had like just a horrific day and you just think, tomorrow has to be better than this, right? And so the sun coming up in the morning represents, just on a human psychological level, the possibility of new birth, of new beginnings. This is why the shorter days of winter are so tough on many of us emotionally. It's the sun that scatters the darkness and uplifts the spirit and gives us a sense of new beginnings. It's hard to be sad on a day like this, though, on Christmas. I feel a little guilty, like we shouldn't be experiencing this weather. But anyway, it is what it is. So just on a human level, new beginnings. But there's also, my nephew was also tapping into a really deep theological instinct, right? Which was, there was this sense, because of the rising sun, that God, when he comes and intervenes in the world in history, comes from the place of the rising sun. He comes from the east, right? And so when I was with some students in Jerusalem in May, we were on the Mount of Olives, which is on the east side of the temple, and that's where Jesus comes down on Palm Sunday, and the Garden of Gethsemane, where he has his agony, is there. But there's also a Jewish cemetery there. It's 150,000 tombstones. It's called the Mount of Olives Cemetery. And it's really expensive. There's still plots available if you're interested, but they're like 50,000 a pop for these plots, because, and famous Jewish figures from the Bible and everything are buried there, because the idea was, as our guide told us, they thought that the Messiah would come from the east side of the temple, and descend down the Mount of Olives to the temple. And so they wanted to have a front row seat right, when the Messiah came, that they could get up and be the first to greet him and escort the Messiah into the temple. So this sort of instinct to pray toward the east, the place of the rising sun, for Jesus to come. And even though as Christians we believe the Messiah did in fact come in the person of Jesus, in the early church they still had a custom often of praying toward the east for Jesus' final return. Jesus says something in toward the end of Matthew's gospel which hints that when he comes back, he will come back from the east, from the place of the rising sun. So sometimes churches were built with that in mind, facing the east. We have another Advent song that invokes this. People look east. We sang it actually yesterday morning at 11 a.m. Right? That's invoking, people look east and sing today, Christ the Lord is on the way. Right? The early church was thinking about praying east for the final coming of the Messiah. It's really interesting. Catholic cemeteries have a long tradition of burying you so that you're ready for this coming. Right? So in traditionally, Catholic cemeteries bury the head to the west so that when the Lord comes and you stand up out of your graves, you are facing him to the east. I like to usually ask the guy doing, like, the undertaker, I usually like to ask him, because they'll, like, whisper it. They'll be like, hey, the head's over there. And you're like, could you be a little more subtle? The family's right here, you know. And I'll say, you know why you bury them in this direction? They're like, no, we've just done this for forever. It's like, well, there's a deep theological tradition to this. We bury facing the east because Christ will come again like the rising sun. And so all of that's about new beginnings, and then we have a baby. And I don't know about you, but for me, little children represent the possibility of new beginnings. In the last 5 years, I've heard many young people express real reluctance and even repulsion at bringing children into the world. I've had a number of young people say, we will not have kids. This world is too messed up to bring kids into it. I've had that in marriage prep. I've had that among our college students. And I get it. I understand it. But it pains me. Now, you might say, well, that's easy for you to say because you're not raising any of them, you know? Well, that's a fair point. But it pains me to hear that because for me, a baby and a little child represents the possibility of a new dawn in the world. Like maybe that child cures cancer. Maybe that child negotiates peace in the Middle East. Like maybe that child represents a heroic virtue that inspires so many human beings. Now maybe they don't, right? Right, that's the possibility of human freedom and whatever. Right? But to me, a child represents the possibility of new beginnings. Right? And so all of this comes together with the image of a new dawn. And our readings, especially our gospel, I know it's disappointing on Christmas morning to not hear the nativity story. We hear John's gospel, right, which has like a one-line nativity. And the Word was made flesh and made his dwelling among us. It's like a one-line nativity. But that whole gospel is about light scattering the darkness, a new dawn, the rising sun giving us new hope. But there's an interesting line in there. It says, and this light will scatter the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like the darkness is winning sometimes. Right? It's hard not to celebrate this Christmas and have it a little bit be overshadowed by the place of the first Christmas being in the middle of this turmoil in the Middle East. Right? I think about all the darkness in our world, in our families, in our church, in our communities, right, in ourselves. I think about the shadows. Every Christmas, I'm just very aware of the people that have lost loved ones in this past year and how Christmas often is a very difficult time for so many people. My aunt and godmother Christmas for our family, as I know it has for many people that have lost loved ones in the past year. And so there seems like there's a lot of darkness, but yet John tells us that the light will overcome all the darkness. The darkness will not be overcome by the light of the new dawn, the rising sun, not just S-U-N, but S-O-N, the eternal Son of God who has become a baby to live with us. And so, friends, let's just state that in hope and in faith today, right? That Jesus Christ represents in my life and in the future of humanity a new dawn. Every day, every year on this feast, there are new possibilities made present because God's power came into the world in the form of this little child. It's the new birth of a baby. It's the new dawn of every day. It's the theological hope and expectation that Christ comes again from the east at the end of history. And so I think there's nothing more fitting on a day where we celebrate the birth of a baby to take great philosophical and theological wisdom from a three-year-old, which is my nephew, right? Who says to me, Uncle Jeremy, there's nothing to be afraid of, right? The sun is coming up. The king shall come when morning dawns. On this day, roughly 2,000 years ago, a new dawn was brought about in the world. Let's let that new dawn, let's just bathe in the rising sun, the new dawn, so that we can spread the kingdom of light this coming week.